Constitution of the United States is considered the supreme law of the land. It was ratified in June of 1788, with the first of 10 amendments ratified in December of 1791. These 10 amendments came to be known as the Bill of Rights. Of these amendments, the second seems to be causing a great deal of trouble these days. In its entirety, it reads, "A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." Under the original intent of the Constitution, it was probably meant that each and every landowner should be able to be armed and be called in the defense of his country. The current thought seems to be that the right to keep and bear arms means that you can carry as many weapons as you want in public, wherever you want, damn the consequences. The strongest proponents of the right to keep and bear arms believe that automatic weapons, armor-piercing bullets, cop-killer bullets, should be available on every street corner and perhaps sold in convenience stores. The framers of the Constitution and the creators of the Second Amendment had no concept of automatic weapons, of armor-piercing bullets, of mass murders in our schools, of massacres at fast food restaurants. Nobody, save perhaps for the hardcore gun lobby, doubts that gun violence is a serious problem. But just how serious is this? A recent report from Mother Jones magazine reports that gun violence costs this country $229 billion a year. To put that number in perspective, that's roughly $700 per person in this country every year. The U.S. only spends $140 billion per year on education. 75,000 people are injured by gun violence in the average year. 32,000 people are killed. 11,000 people are murdered each year by guns. 20,000 kill themselves with guns. 18,000 people are accidentally injured and killed by guns. The cost of smoking is estimated at $289 billion per year. The cost of obesity in the U.S. is estimated at $224 billion a year. Apple's entire annual revenue is listed at $174 billion per year. The economic impact of gun violence dwarfs them all. In an editorial in the April 7th issue of Annals of Internal Medicine, a team of doctors wrote, quote, "It does not matter whether we believe that guns kill people or that people kill people with guns. The result is the same. A public health crisis," unquote. The solution to any crisis, as any expert will tell you, begins with data. That's why the U.S. government over the years has assessed a broad economic toll of a variety of major problems. Take motor vehicle crashes. Using statistical models to estimate a range of costs, both tangible and more abstract, from property damage and traffic congestion to physical pain and lost quality of life, the Department of Transportation published a 300-page study estimating the total value of social harm from this problem in 2010 at $871 billion. Similar research has been produced by the Environmental Protection Agency on the impact of air pollution, by the Department of Health and Human Services on the cost of domestic violence, and so on. But the government has mostly been mute on the economic toll of gun violence. Health and Human Services has assessed firearm-related hospitalizations, but its data is incomplete because some states don't require hospitals to track gunshot injuries among the larger pool of patients treated for open wounds. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has also periodically made estimates using hospital data, but based on narrow sample sizes and covering only the medical and lost work costs of gun violence. The National Rifle Association and other influential gun rights advocates have long pressured political leaders to shut down research related to firearms and gun violence. The Annals of Internal Medicine editorial detailed this suppression of silence. Quote, 2 years ago, we called on physicians to focus on the public health threat of guns. The profession's relative silence was disturbing and in part explicable by our inability to study the problem. Political forces have effectively banned the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and other scientific agencies from funding research on gun-related injury and death. The ban worked. A recent systemic review of studies evaluating access to guns and its association with suicide and homicide identified no relevant studies published since 2005. Unquote. Ted Miller at the Pacific Institute of Research and Evaluation has attempted to get a grasp on the economic toll of gun violence. Miller's been one of the few researchers willing to delve deeply into guns, going back to the late 1980s, when he began analyzing societal costs from violence, injury, substance abuse, as well as the savings from prevention. Most of his 30-plus years of research have been funded by government grants and contracts. His work on guns in recent years has either been tucked into broader projects or done on the side. "I never take positions on legislation," he notes. "Instead, I provide numbers to inform decision-making." Miller's approach looks at two categories of costs. The first is direct. Every time a bullet hits somebody, expenses can include emergency services, police investigations, and long-term medical and mental health care, as well as court and prison costs. About 87% of these costs fall on taxpayers. The second category consists of indirect costs. Factors here include lost income, losses to employers, and impact on quality of life, which Miller bases on amounts that juries award for pain and suffering to victims of wrongful injury and death. Miller crunched the data from 2012 and found that the annual cost of gun violence in America exceeds $229 billion a year. Direct costs account for $8.6 billion, including long-term prison costs for people who commit assault and homicide using guns, which at $5.2 billion a year is the largest direct expense. Even before accounting for the more intangible costs of the violence, the average cost to taxpayers from a single gun homicide in America is nearly $400,000, and we pay for 32 of those every single day. Indirect costs come to some $221 billion a year, about $169 billion of which comes from what researchers consider to be the impact on victims' quality of life. Victims' lost wages, which account for $49 billion annually, are the other major factor. Miller's calculations for indirect costs based on jury awards values the average statistical life harmed by gun violence at about $6.2 million. That's toward the lower end of the range for this analytical method, which is used widely by industry and government. The EPA, for example, currently values a statistical life at $7.9 million, and the Department of Transportation uses a $9.2 million figure. This figure of $229 billion ultimately does not capture what gun violence actually costs us. For starters, there are gaps in what we know about long-term medical and disability expenses, specifically from gunshots. Miller's research accounts for about 7 years of long-term care for victims and for lifelong care for those with spinal cord or traumatic brain injuries. Kelly Bernardo, a former police officer who now works as an ER nurse near Seattle, points out that survivors' lifespans and medical complications can exceed expectations. One of her patients was shot as a teenager. Quote, "He was paralyzed from the neck down and could not feed himself, toilet himself, dress himself, or turn over in bed. He will live the rest of his life in a nursing home, all paid for by the taxpayers, as he is a Medicaid patient," unquote. She estimates that over the last 2 decades, the price tag for this one patient's skilled nursing care alone has been upwards of $1.7 million. Even in less severe cases, the consequences from gunshots can be profound. The fallout from mass shootings, which have been on the rise in recent years, include outsized financial impact. Legal proceedings from the Aurora movie theater killer, for example, have reached $5.5 million before the trial even got underway, including expenses related to the pool of 9,000 prospective jurors called on the case. Most Americans don't even recall a less lethal rampage that took place just a few months after the Aurora tragedy at the Clackamas Town Center near Portland, Oregon, when a gunman killed 2 people, wounded another, and took his own life at the shopping complex. More than 150 officers from at least 13 local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies responded, an investigation that lasted more than 3 months and culminated in a report nearly 1,000 pages long. The 1.5 million square foot mall shut down for 3 days during the height of the holiday shopping season, depriving 188 retail businesses of revenue. The United States has a current population of approximately 325 million people. There are also approximately 286 million guns. Now, that doesn't mean that 88 out of every 100 people has a gun. What happens is that most people usually have 2 or 3. So the population that actually owns weapons is about 1/3 the population of the United States. There simply is not the political will to try and take guns away from Americans. It's too well entrenched in our culture. We are a guns-first people. What political effort there has been at regulating gun ownership has mostly been around the edges, trying to limit the sales, distribution, and ownership of so-called ugly guns, AK-47s, M-16s. As a result, there are no easy answers for gun control into the future. However, Chris Rock does have one pretty good idea that I'd like to leave you with.
And everybody talking about gun control, gotta get rid of the guns. Man, I like guns. You got a gun, you don't have to work out. I ain't working out. I ain't jogging. You got pecs, I got pecs. Oh, that shit. You don't need no gun control. You know what you need? We need some bullet control. We need to control the bullets. That's right. I think all bullets should cost $5,000. $5,000 for a bullet. You know why? Because if a bullet costs $5,000, there'll be no more innocent bystanders. Yeah. Every time somebody gets shot, you be like, damn, he must have did something. Shit, they put $50,000 worth of bullets in his ass. And people are safe before they kill somebody. If a bullet costs $5,000, man, I would blow your head off if I could afford it. I'm gonna get me another job. I'm gonna start saving some money. And you a dead man. You better hope I can't get no bullets on layaway. So even if you get shot by a stray bullet, you won't have to go to no doctor to get it taken out. Whoever shot you will take their bullet back. I believe you got my property.